Hey guys, my name is Bella, and this is my friend Danny.
Hello.
And we're gonna read some verses for y'all. He is your praise, he is your God, who has done for you these great and terrifying things that your eyes have seen. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 21. My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. Exodus chapter 33, verse 14.
And he said in Joshua, do not be afraid, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. In Joshua 1, 9. And then in Philippians, he said, he who began a good work in you will be finished. Philippians 1, 6.
And now I'm going to invite our campus pastor to the stage. She's not only my mentor or my boss, but a great friend who loves all of y'all. I'm going to invite Natalie Goins to the stage.
Thank you. Thanks, guys. So sweet. First off, I want to give a shout out to our football team, women's soccer team, and women's volleyball team, who all had wins last week. So let's give them a hand. Awesome. All right. Okay, question. Does anyone know where the most dangerous hike in the world is? Not climb. Most dangerous hike. Nepal is, yeah, Everest is a climb. So we're talking hike. Most dangerous hike in the world. Anyone? You guys? No. Okay. Okay. I think all of you are wrong, okay? We're all wrong, okay? So the most dangerous hike in the world, sitting at 7,000 feet high in the mountains of China, is the Wanshin Plank Walk, okay? We have a picture of this. Yeah, this is crazy. So if you notice, there's no guardrails, okay? Guardrails are just strangely missing. And we have some planks and some ratty nails up there. Just to give you guys some context, 7,000 feet high. So the tallest building in the world, which is in Dubai, it's called the Burj Khalifa, it's 2,000 feet tall. This is 7,000 feet tall. Okay, so this is really, really tall. Now, I am saddened to say that actually, it's reported that 100 people die every year on this hike, I know. Yet, at the same time, 1 million people hike this every year. 1 million people. And to that, I would just ask, why? Why? Right? Here's why, okay? Humans crave adventure, right? Humans crave adventure. And psychologists have long told us this fact about us. Psychologists and cognitive scientists, we have a few quotes up here on the screen. So one psychologist said this, the human desire for novelty, risk, and exploration is deeply rooted in our brain chemistry, particularly in the dopamine system. And then Dr. Scott Barry Kaufman said that we are wired to seek out the new, the mysterious, the unpredictable. So many psychologists have told us that for humans, adventure and risk and thrill, this is not just a luxury for us, but this is a necessity for a lot of us, just seeking out very, very thrilling things, even if it's a bit dangerous or risky. I want to show you guys something up here on the screen. You maybe have seen this before. This is called the Hero's Journey, okay? Now there's a man, his name is Joseph Campbell. He was a professor of mythology, and he came up with this chart right here, and pretty much he argued that there's like one story that just repeats itself in all of the best movies and books and shows that we love. It's pretty much always about someone who takes a journey, okay? And he basically predicted this storyline in 12 different predictable stages. So pretty much in the best movies and books and shows that we love, they all follow this storyline, a character. They leave home, they go on a journey, they face a lot of danger, they get brave, they conquer evil, they almost die, but they don't. They save the world, they're a hero, and then they return home changed. This right here is said to be the story of all time. All the best stories are about someone who takes a journey, and clearly we love it because we'll pay good money to see this story play out again and again. Why do we keep showing up to see this play out again and again? We know it's going to happen. It's super predictable. We love it because it's strangely familiar to us. We actually recognize it. It's not just the hero's journey. It's our journey too. It's the human journey, right? It's the adventure we all long to have. So we don't just crave adventure for adventure's sake, right? We're not just looking for adrenaline. We actually want all the things that an adventure entails, right? We want to overcome obstacles. We want to face our fears. We want to experience transformation. We want to meet mentors and friends, and we want to help people, and we want to be challenged. These things really add meaning to our lives. There's a study done by Cornell University where they interviewed 1,500 elderly people in their 80s and their 90s, and they asked, hey, do you have any regrets in life? What do you wish you would have spent more time doing? And some of them said, oh, I wish I would have spent more time with family, or I wish I wouldn't have worked as much. Many of them, however, said they wish they would have had more adventure in their lives, sought out more adventure. Okay, so clearly, although it's something we all crave, many of us don't always meet our ache for adventure. We might think we're actually living an adventurous life, only to find that we're really not. Many of us actually don't seek out the adventure that we're all longing for, and that's probably why there's a poet, his name was Oscar Wilde, and he said this. It'll be up on the screen. He had this famous line where he said, to live is the rarest thing in the world. Most people just exist. And that was his way of poetically saying that despite the fact that many of us crave and long for adventure and we've been created to live out these adventurous lives, many of us actually end up not really stepping into them. And we actually might just be tempted to watch movies where people step into adventure and we live vicariously through their lives. So how on earth are we to find this, right? How are we to meet this crave for adventure in our lives? How are we to not be like 80 or 90 and look back and feel like we missed it, right? How on earth are we to find this craving for adventure? You know, I remember when I started following the Lord, I was about 11 or 12 when I made that decision. And I remember thinking to myself, like, yeah, this is a good decision. It's what my parents are doing. It's what my friends are doing. But I remember making the decision more out of, like, duty. I kind of think I should just do this because it feels like the right thing to do. But I didn't really think following the Lord would lead to, like, an adventurous life. And that was kind of a bummer for me because I've always been more of a free spirit. So I remember making that decision and thinking, like, man, maybe this is a death blow to my adventurous spirit. And that's a little bit of a bummer. I just kind of did it out of obligation or duty. But then I started reading these stories in here where there was just this pattern, and not just one or two times, but I started reading hundreds of stories in here where God would just, like, call people on these crazy adventures, these, like, crazy journeys, and he had this pattern where he would search for someone, look for them, find them, and call them out to just, like, run with him. And then I started noticing things in my own life, even as a young person, where as I started following God, I would just experience him just calling me out to do these things that just seemed so much bigger than who I was. And all these stories led me to realize that could, in fact, following God be actually the adventure I was longing for? Could following God actually be the answer, the promise to, like, living out an adventurous life? Who would have thought that just being in a relationship with God would actually lead to something like that? And so I don't know where each of you are at this morning, and we've always wanted you to feel welcome being here, whatever background you have, but I want to make one thing clear, and it's something I've realized in my own life, and many people here have also realized it. The call of God is always a call to adventure. The call of God is always a call to adventure, and for any of us who might think it's boring to be in relationship with God, I'll just say that the Bible just doesn't support that. But rather, the Bible has all these stories, hundreds of stories, where we see people being called by God to just run with him into these incredibly exciting adventures. And so I want to talk about that this morning. Now, I want to talk about this man in the Bible, Moses. He's kind of a big deal. I want to talk about, I believe that he had the most adventurous life with God out of anybody. And for me, I'm like, what did he do? How can I do that, right? And so I want to share his story this morning. Our chapel theme is On the Journey for this semester, and I want to talk about what it looks like to walk with God, the different stages and seasons. You're going to hear all kinds of people sharing about this chapel theme, and so hopefully it's enjoyable and just inspiring for each of you. But let me talk about Moses. I talked about him a little at Arise about a week and a half ago, but we have a sculpture up here of Moses. This is sitting in Rome, Italy, about 8 feet tall. Yeah, he has horns, a little different, that's okay. But this is sculpted by Michelangelo in the 1500s. Anyways, So this is Moses. All right, I'm going to share a little bit about his story. I'm going to pick it up in Exodus chapter 2, verse 2. This is what we read. A woman conceived and bore a son, and she saw that he was a fine child, and she hid him for 3 months. Why is the mom hiding her child? You guys, Moses, we have reason to believe that he had 4 different layers of trauma in his childhood, which is just crazy to think about, okay? Now, why is she hiding him? When Moses was born, genocide was going on right outside his doorstep. Genocide, that's like the mass murder of large groups of people. Not just genocide was going on, infanticide. And if we don't know what infanticide is, that's the murdering of infants, right? Infant, genocide, infanticide. To take it one more disturbing step, it was ethnically motivated, right? So one people group murdering the babies of another people group. That's horrific, right? So this is what's going on right as Moses is born, and Moses is an infant, making him quite vulnerable, all right? And pretty much what we see is his mom chooses to hide him for 3 months, and she gets to a point when she can no longer hide him anymore, so she has to give him up, all right? And long story short, pretty much she gives him up. She has to pretty much like abandon him, and he gets discovered by a very wealthy and powerful family. Okay, so Moses as a young person gets adopted into this family and grows up in some privilege, all right? And here's what happened, all right? We think, man, this is probably good for Moses. He's growing up in privilege and wealth, and his family's powerful. This is great for him as an adopted child, right? But Moses, when he's young, he makes a shocking discovery, all right? The discovery is this. He not only learns the truth at some point when he's young, he not only learns the truth about being adopted, but he actually learns that the family that adopted him were the ones who were responsible for the genocide. Let me just repeat that if we didn't get that. Moses, at one point in his childhood, learns that the family that adopted him were actually the ones who were responsible for ordering the genocide that almost took his life and wiped out a lot of his own people. How horrifying would that be as a young person to learn that about your adopted family? And we're not really sure how he's handling this identity crisis and how this is all manifesting itself in his body. But what we do know is one day when Moses is a young person, he gets really mad at someone and just kills them. Just kills them. I've been mad at people before and never thought of killing them. Right? What is that? What is that? That's everything in here erupting one day, coming to the surface, and that's Moses emotionally snapping, right? That's what happens. And so now Moses is a fugitive. He decides to run. People are looking for him. He wants to hide. So he dips out of town and runs away to the furthest town he can find. And he decides, you know what? I'm just going to run away from my problems. I'm going to live out here for the rest of my life, right? And some of us might think, yeah, probably a good idea. Just start over. This sounds great. But remember I said there's this thing that God does where he like searches for people, finds them, and calls them out on an adventure. This happens for Moses. Moses can't get away. Because here's the thing, God actually had something way more exciting for Moses. He actually had a destiny for Moses that wasn't defined by his past or who he was or what he'd done. He actually had something really exciting for Moses, and living off the grid, running away from his past and his problems and all of that, that was not it, right? God actually had something way more exciting for Moses. I want to pick back up with this hero's journey chart for a second. So it's interesting because a lot of stories in the Bible actually follow this chart, which is kind of fascinating. But pretty much what we see in a lot of movies, and you guys have seen movies like this, Lord of the Rings, Hunger Games, even Star Wars or Indiana Jones for this crowd over here. Sorry, you guys. I'm actually really sorry about that. Yeah, so you guys know this, but in a lot of stories, what we actually read is pretty much stage one, right? Characters are living in this ordinary world. They're living these comfortable, quiet lives. It's a familiar life. This is what's going on. And then stage two, they get called on an adventure, right? To defeat some sort of evil by something or someone. But stage three, and this is completely predictable in so many movies, characters do not want to go on the journey. Right? They refuse the call when they're first called. They don't want to go. Why? Because they're terrified. They're like absolutely terrified. They don't want to leave their ordinary life. They're comfortable. They're in the familiar. They're safe. They don't want to go. And this is what happens to Moses. Pretty much God calls him on this adventure. And God wants Moses to actually overthrow his wicked family and the government, because this family is still participating in these violent, racist acts. And God wants Moses to go back and overthrow them. But Moses doesn't want to do it. Why? Because he's so full of fear, right? And this does happen a lot. When God calls people on a journey, they might have like an adventurous spirit in them, but initially they just don't want to go, scared to follow God or scared to step into what God's inviting you into, right? Why are we scared? Why are we scared? And this is so relatable, right? Why are we ever scared, right? Maybe we're scared of God, or we're scared of the journey. It's unpredictable. What is it going to entail? What's it going to cost me? What do I have to leave behind, right? We don't get to see all of the steps on the journey with God, right? We just get to see the step right in front of us. So yes, it's terrifying, and I can certainly relate to that. So although a lot of characters don't want to say yes initially, it's like they get this vague sense that there's something about adventuring with God that just might be more compelling than how I'm already living, right? So like, there must be something more compelling. And so when God calls a lot of characters in the Bible, it's like they think to themselves, although I am so scared to go on this adventure, it is God himself asking me to go. So although I'm terrified, like the God who runs the universe is actually crafting out an adventure for me. So although I'm so scared, this really might be something. This really might be something. And that actually becomes a breaking point to many people saying yes to God, but certainly for Moses. So what happens? So Moses reluctantly, right, says yes and goes on this adventure, right? He follows God. He leaves his lands. Now, if you notice, back to this chart, when the hero is like going on their adventure, they go from this ordinary world down into a special world. So they're not going up. They're actually descending down. And when we say special world, what we mean is a terrifying and foreign and unknown land with tests, challenges, and danger. And this is what happens for Moses. He says yes, and then stage six, he's like immediately hit with these difficulties, right? All of these challenges. He has to take his family into a super dangerous place. He has to confront a really evil dictator. He has to go against the most powerful government in the world. He has to see a lot of death and blood and suffering in this special world that he's in, right? All this horrible stuff. Many people, it's worth mentioning, are done after these stages. They're like, I didn't ask for this. This is too hard, too many challenges. We want the end of the journey, right? But it's hard to push through the pain to get there, right? But Moses somehow just like finds this stamina to push through. And here's what happens. After a few months, what we see is Moses like ends up overthrowing the whole government and rescuing 3 million slaves. Hello? This man just murdered someone a little while back, and now he's like saving people's lives? What is that? What is that? When you start teaming up with God, you start immediately participating in stuff that like really matters. Things that actually feel like high stakes, things that are enormous and incredibly fulfilling and meaningful. And even with the challenges, you start to realize why you said yes, because you get to do stuff like that with God. Scary? Yes. Exciting? Also yes. Now, I want to make something really clear. I want you to think about something for a second. Moses is getting to see and do all of these incredible things with God, and it's awesome, right? But let's not forget, Moses had stuff, right? I mean, we're thinking Moses had trauma in his childhood, being born during genocide, right? And then his mom had to give him up, which is understandable that she had to do that. She wanted to keep him safe, but there's that. And he grew up separated from his roots. And then his family, he realized his new adopted family is really evil, right? So he's like dealing with this trauma still, right? And abandonment wounds, and not only that, but he has crippling anxiety He's tongue-tied. He has anger problems, clearly violent tendencies, no backbone, low self-esteem, no confidence. He has guilt and shame, insecurities, all these things. So Moses is like seeing God do all of these awesome things around him, and it's incredible, but Moses still has this backpack of shame and weaknesses and just stuff that he's carrying, and it's heavy. There's always a stage, and it's one of the lowest stages on this journey's chart, and it's stage 7 and 8. It's called the innermost cave and the ordeal, and this is a time, maybe even the darkest, clearly the lowest point of the journey, when a character begins to not just confront things out there, but realize they got stuff in here. It's a point when they realize, oh my gosh, like I'm not just fighting enemies and dragons out there. I actually have enemies in here that I have to face. And for those of us who are walking with God, this looks like him beginning this process in us. And I just want to make it clear, like God loves and accepts us no matter exactly as we are, which is incredible. He died for us. That's a clear sign of his unconditional love for us. He accepts us as we are, loves us unconditionally. But God is always committed to our transformation and who we're becoming. For our good. This isn't just God being like this cosmic killjoy. Some of us are walking around with weights, with a backpack. And God wants, as we're on the journey, what God does is he simultaneously works on us, helps us, frees us up, heals us from stuff we picked up along the way. God doesn't do that, you know, before we get to go on the journey with him. He does it as we're journeying with him, which is an incredible reality that God would do that for us. And so God is simultaneously doing this deep work inside of Moses as he's journeying. And it's hard. That's why it's the lowest point on the journey. But it's incredibly freeing when we start to let God work on our stuff, right? For our own good, for his glory. So 40 years passes. 40 years of Moses journeying with God, doing these incredible things with God. God's doing stuff around him. God's doing stuff in him. And pretty much God wants Moses to take all of these these people that used to be slaves and now they're free. He wants them to go to a new land. So God asks Moses to take them into a new land. And so that's the journey. And let me read off all the different things Moses gets to experience with God, okay? An army is attacking them. They have no way out. God splits an entire sea in front of them so they can escape. Moses and the people are starving. They need food. And God has food fall from the sky. They're parched. They're dying of thirst on the journey. God makes water appear out of nowhere. At night, it's dark. It's dangerous. They can't see. God shows up as a pillar of fire to light up their path. They need protection and covering. God comes to them and hovers over them like a cloud. They encounter more enemies. God defeats them all. Moses needs a weapon, and God turns his staff into a python. Wicked people rise up and rebel against Moses, and God opens the ground and swallows them. Different. Moses has moments of fatigue, makes mistakes, crashes out, has failure, but God works with him, cares for him, comforts him, and God brings his presence and his glory to Moses. Okay? And so, man, what a trip. What an adventure for Moses. No wonder he got to experience the coolest things out of anyone else in the Bible. What an adventure. What an adventure. Moses experiences so much on this journey. All these things. Things that are like scary and exciting. Things that are hard, but also absolutely amazing. All at the same time, right? Just such an epic journey, right? Of a lifetime. Some of us would be like, this is exhausting. I could not handle everything that Moses did and saw. What a whiplash, right? What a whiplash. But I just asked, like, what was the alternative for Moses? What was the alternative? Staying home. On the couch. Right? Choosing not to step into things that scared him. Being sidelined. And you know what? There's some characters that choose to do that in the Bible. And their stories are this long. Moses' story is 157 chapters and left a legacy. and we're still talking about him 3,000 years later. That's a journey. That's a journey of excitement and transformation, right? Now, at the end of the journey, right, there's always this time in the movies or in books, right, where there's this final stage, right, when the hero returns home, and they've saved the world, it's all good, and when they return home, they look around, and, like, nothing's changed, right? It's still, everything's still where it was when they left, right? So nothing's changed, but they've changed, right? And they have this moment when they realize, oh my gosh, what if I would have never gone? What if I would have never gone? What if I would have stayed in the comfy and the familiar? Yeah, it would have been safer, and I probably wouldn't have picked up all of these scars. But oh my gosh, what I would have missed out on. What I would have missed out on, right? So I'm going to wrap this up this morning, but I want to leave you with three things. Three things as we close out just this story on Moses. And like I said, this is a very 30,000-foot view of this journey, but three things for you, okay? And the first one is this. If you want a journey with God, it will be full of thrill and wonder. I mean, it will be full of thrill and wonder. Not easy all the time, but worth it. You know, you might not experience this stuff as dramatic as what Moses experienced, but I'm telling you, when you walk with God, he takes you in on a whole new way of seeing, living, experiencing the world, things you could only dream of because you chose to take the journey with God. He will give you this vigor and this joy for life. And at the end of his life, this is what Moses said. The ladies read this earlier. He said this. He said this to the people. He said, he is your praise. He is your God who did for you these great and terrifying things that your eyes have seen. Right? Great and terrifying. That's probably a good word for it. You know, a journey with God, and some of you already know this, a journey with God can feel overwhelming and exciting, right? We might wish that our journey with God looked like this, right? We might wish that it looked like that. What a nice linear line up, right? But that's not a journey. That's actually what we call a honeymoon. That's what we call a vacation, actually. A journey with God, and Moses' journey looked a little more like this, right? Who's felt like their journey has looked like this before? Okay, me and two people in the back. Awesome. This is what a journey with God actually looks like, right? There's high highs and low lows, hills and valleys, defeats and victories, triumphs. We have times where things get messy, right? We make mistakes, right? We have great moments and hard moments, but in order for something to be a journey or adventure, it has to have these tensions, right? That's just an adventure. We wouldn't watch movies that didn't have that. That's what makes the best stories. So a journey means it's a process. Walking with God is a process. It unfolds over time. It has many different chapters and seasons. It doesn't just click like that, but it is so much more fulfilling than anything we could ever come up with on our own. Second point is this. A bit cliche, but meaningful. If you want a journey with God, you will always have God. One character said it like this, don't be afraid, don't be discouraged, because the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And God told Moses, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest, is what he said. You know, when Moses first started journeying with God, right, he was terrified, but God's like, I'm not going to leave you. I'm by your side every step of the way, right? I'll never leave your side. And what happened is God made himself this cloud that hovered over Moses in the day and the people, and a fire at night, lighting up his path at night. That's incredible. And this is why the journey with God is so much more exciting than anything I could ever come up with in my life. I'm taking the journey with God. That's just incredible. And what we actually saw is the best part of the adventure was that Moses and God became best friends. That's an adventure with God, becoming best friends with God. That's absolutely incredible. So you always have God. And then the third point is this. God will transform your life and who you're becoming. And Paul would say later, like about 1,000 years later, he would say, he who began a good work in you is going to finish it. So if God calls you on the journey, he's going to finish a really good work in you. What a relief, right? What we see is Moses went from being a coward and a murderer, a hothead. He was violent, no backbone of a man. And God turned him into this incredible, meek, humble rescuer of lives and a leader. How does that happen? That's what happens when you journey with God. That's what happens when you journey with God. And at the end of his life, God called Moses the most humble man to ever live. That's a journey. And then we realize all along that the hero was never Moses. The hero is God, right? Because he's the pioneer, crafting out this journey, walking with us, turning us into new people, saving the world, all these incredible things. So the hero is never us, it's God. So this is what we're going to do. We have about 9 minutes left here, and what we're going to do is I'm going to put, just some questions here on the screen. They're right up here. We're going to just enter into a little response time. I'm actually going to ask Bella, Noah, Melissa, Michaela, and Hannah, if you guys would come up here and just be available as like a prayer team. And this is what we're going to do, you guys. We're going to have a little bit of music playing. And I'm just going to have some questions up here on the screen. We're going to enter into a response time. And you could talk to the person next to you. You could talk to a group of people. You could talk to yourself. You could come up here and get prayer. But we just want to leave some time for you guys to respond this morning, however you want. So we have a few questions up here. Have you ever seen your walk with God as a journey? What does that mean to you? What kind of encouragement does Moses' story give you on your own life? Was there anything new you learned about God's nature today? And then if you want prayer from any of these students and staff up here, come on up and get prayer. Man, we have a little bit of time, and so we have, some cushion. And so I'd encourage us not to rush off or anything. Just take this time this morning and ponder these three different things. Your walk with God will be full of thrill and wonder. God will always be with you on the journey, and he will absolutely transform who you're becoming. And so I'm going to pray over us. We're going to give you a little bit of time to respond. And then at the end, my team will scan you guys out closer to 11:20. And this time is for you, so use it however you think would be valuable to yourself. So I'm going to pray, and then we're going to start this response time. Jesus, I just thank you so much, Lord, for actually taking us on a journey, Lord. You care about our lives. You care about the things we go through, Lord. You care about our transformation. Lord, you want to give us adventures and journeys for our lives, Lord. And that's crazy that you actually want to do that for us, Lord. How kind that you want us to actually not just like survive in life, but thrive and flourish. And so I just thank you, Lord. Thank you for everything that you're doing in our lives. Thanks for the students here. And God, I just ask that you would just have your way in this place this morning, Lord. If anyone needs prayer or anything of that nature, may they just come up and receive and be loved on this morning. And so we just thank you, Jesus. We ask these things in your name. Amen. Melissa, you can go ahead and hit that music and then just take this time, friends. Thank you. Thank you.